Oh, y'all ain't got no problem tonight, I can tell that. Amen. You know, sometimes it's like that. Sometimes it's just like life, man. Sometimes, you know, in life, I wake up some mornings, man, I feel like I can just whip the world. I wake up some mornings, I feel like a Mack truck ran over the top of me. You know what I'm talking about? There's some days my mind just, man, I can say the right things at the right time. You know, just make it work, make it happen. Got the little witty quip and quote and this and that. But sometimes my mind is as slow as cold molasses. Can't think of anything. Life. It's like the ocean. There's ebb and flow, ebb and flow, ebb and flow. Every day you don't feel like dancing on a flagpole. No, not every day. Once in a while. For some it was precious memories. Amen. But every day God is faithful. You got to know that. I mean, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. Brutally honest. I'm always honest. There are some days I just can't hardly wait to get in here and preach. And there's other days I don't feel nothing. But I got to preach anyway. And thank God sometimes I've been in the middle of that and got myself out of it. Praise God. But sometimes I've been discouraged. So discouraged. And man, I thought, how can I preach to people as discouraged as I am? Just so you know, it's not tonight, okay? All right. I'm not just venting here, okay? I'm telling you something that might help you. But I say, I can't even help myself. How in the world am I going to help those folks? Because I'm pretty discouraged. And yet, I have preached myself out of what I call a funk. I've preached myself out of discouragement. I don't guess I've ever been depressed that I know of. I guess you don't know it if you are, I guess. Amen. It's kind of like riding around in a car that's got, whoa, zipped it back up. That's the way life is sometimes. You think it's open, but you closed it. No, you closed it when you thought you opened it, see? See? That's a good example right there. It's not even what I'm preaching on, but I'm just giving a little extra tonight, okay? Like you really need a little extra. I know you do. Now you made me forget what I was saying. But that's okay. But days are just like that. But every day God is faithful. And every day, you know, there's days you don't feel like going to work. Some days, Brother Lou is retired. It's not every day you feel like going to the golf club. You just go, right? Amen. But for the rest of us at work, you know, you don't always want to do that. But God is faithful. I'm saying your emotions, they go up and down, up and down, up and down. That's just life. And these people go around, you know, acting like they're so spiritual, so glory to God, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. You know, a dog just jumped on your kid and ate half his leg off. Well, glory to Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's a lie. That ain't acting. That's just acting spiritual. And nobody in their right mind is going to praise and just throw their hands up and feel the bubbles all the time when your kid just got his leg bit off. Amen. Well, there's some dogs out there do it too. Trust me. Amen. I had one tack my pickup the other day and pop both of my tires. What'd you do? I sprayed him with some pepper spray. Two of them. Then I went back home, found out I had two flat tires. The next day I came back, I went the same place, hit him again just because I was mad at him. Amen. Glory to God. I'm just telling you the truth, man. I'm just being honest. I'm not a hypocrite. I may not be the greatest guy, but I'm not a hypocrite. Praise God. But I tell you this. If you can just keep your mind on this, I promise you, Jesus is coming. I can promise you that more than I can promise you the sun's going to come up in the morning. How can you do that? Because he said he would. And he will. Came the first time. Many missed him. Don't miss him the second time. I want you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 18. Jeremiah chapter 18. And I'm going to read this scripture here. It says in verse 1, the Lord which came to Jeremiah, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house. There I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. He made it again. And then I want to read it in the message. I just like how they put this. God told Jeremiah, up on your feet, go to the potter's house. When you get there, I'll tell you what I have to say. So I went to the potter's house, and sure enough, the potter was there working away at the wheel. Whenever the pot the potter was working on turned out badly, as sometimes happens when you are working with clay, the potter would simply start over again and use the same clay pot to make another pot. You may be seated. Do you get it? Put it, man. Okay. I mean, do you really get it? He made it again. He didn't just throw it out, toss it away, put it in file 13. I'm done with that. No. He just started over again, and he made it again. And I want you to know, and just let me just say, he'll make it again, and he'll make it again, and he'll make it again, and again, and again. You see, there's a great deal of the gospel in this scene here at the potter's house. And it's typical that Jeremiah would, use a gospel theme here, because he's in the Old Testament, but you know what? The gospel's found in the Old Testament, and we're looking at it right now. And Jesus was very familiar with Jeremiah and his book. As a matter of fact, he was accused of being Jeremiah because I guess much like Jeremiah, he was a weeping prophet. He had lamentations, and both were of a tender heart, and both were actually weeping prophets. But just like Jesus, Jeremiah found parables in the common things of life. And you wonder why sometimes I can find almost an illustration in anything. It's just because that's the way my mind works. I'm always looking for a story. And I always try. I don't look for them. They find me most of the time. And it just happens. And I like to tell stories. But I like to make them gospel effective. I like to make them something you can apply to your life. And that's what Jeremiah's doing here. That's what God did for Jeremiah. He just took the common thing and he just the ordinary, just everyday potter making some clay, making a pot, and he said, I'm going to show you something. And if he showed Jeremiah something, maybe he's showing us something tonight, okay? It won't take me long to get us there, but I want to tell you this, that right here, the potter's molding a piece of clay, and somehow it got marred. Somehow it got messed up in the making of it. Let me just say this. Stop right there. Put that on pause. You know what? God has took us out of, well, he made us out of the dust of the ground, the dirt of the ground, and put in us the breath of life. We became living souls, but we all came from dust. We go back to dust, so we're really just a bunch of clay pots. Got a few crackpots in here, but most of us are just clay pots. Amen, amen, amen. And but beyond that, one day, one night, one moment in your life, God changed you. He's the potter. He picked you up out of the mire. And as I've said, he took us from the mire to the choir, because that's what the psalmist said. He said, out of the miry pit, he brought me and put a song in my heart to sing. So he takes us from the mire to the choir and gives us a song. But this is us. We're in the making of us, and he's still making us tonight. You know, he's not done with you. You think you're all that God's made? Well, then you just need to get your walking papers and get out of here. Amen. Go on to heaven. But he's not done with any of us yet. And so he's making us. But instead of casting that which he already had made, and as a mess up, there's a flaw, there's a mar, he didn't just cast it to the rubbish heap. He didn't just say, hey, well, you know, I tried it, but it didn't work. I gave you the best shot I could give you. I'm a master potter, but you just aren't the right kind of clay. You know, I got to get some different clay than what you are. No, he takes us where we're at, uses us how he uses us. And Jeremiah shows us in this parable the heart of God. The heart of God. How can we miss this? God always makes things again. That's the goodness of God. That's the heart of God. Think about it. Just really think about it. In regards to nature, isn't God always making it again? You take an artist that paints a beautiful picture, paints a beautiful spring day, arrayed with beautiful blooming of the flowers. Maybe you can get a little wisp of the wind, and you can almost see it in on the canvas. And you see the sun as it peeks through the pines, and when they're done with it, and with all its beautiful colors and soft colors, and after he or she has painted it, they're done. They do whatever they do with it. They sell it, give it, put it up on the wall. They're done with it. But that's not the way God does it. You see, the wonder of God, the Creator, he paints this world every year, again and again. Every year he paints spring again, and the glory of summer, and the mellowness of fall, and the sharp, distinct crispness of winter. God's doing it every year. I mean, every year, with his infinite power, God works by way of repetition. How many snow field days have you seen? How many beautiful sunsets have you witnessed? How many times have you seen the beauty of nature? Let me tell you, that's God, and that's God working it and making it again and again and again. You see, I read a review of an essay, and the characteristics of great music, the writer said this: one characteristic of great music is you never get tired of it being repeated. And I thought about that. That's true. You never, if it's good music, you never get tired of it being repeated. There's some songs I can put on a loop and listen to all day long. All night long. Never mind. Where's Mike when you need him? You know, there's certain things that, you know, you just don't get tired of it if it's good music. Now, if it's cheap music, you grow tired of it. You sing it only for a season. Man, I can only sing some of them songs just so many days. You know what I'm saying? And then I want to forget about it. But great music, on the other hand, it can be played over and over and over and over again. It stands endless repetition. Did you ever think about God's great music? I mean, really? Ever since we were children, you could hear the singing of the robin in the spring. Whoever gets tired of that? I still have faint memories that are getting fainter as the day goes by. Fond memories, I meant. Y'all missed that, but anyhow. Fond memories, not faint, but they are getting fainter. Of when I was a child and I would wake up in the morning before I even started school, and my brother had already been going to school. He was at school, and it was just me and Mom. I'll never forget waking up and hearing the birds singing and listening to my mom out there singing Elvis or something. I don't know what she was singing. And looking out and watching her put the clothes on the line. That's still planted right here. Several years ago, I went back to the same house with my mom and my brother. And I went in that same room. I looked out that same window, and I just lived it again and again and again. I mean, music in the morning, the beautiful singing of the songbird. How about the whippoorwill in the evening or the peacock at dusk? Whoever gets tired of that? We have a symphony of celestial stars at night, all moving. They sing in perfect harmony. And every morning there's a sun rises in the east and it sets in the west. Whoever gets tired of a fiery sunset? Whoever gets tired of seeing the sun come up in the morning and the sun go down in the evening? Every year spring comes, sometimes like a lamb, sometimes like a lion, but it always comes running back again, scattering wildflowers in the wilderness. That's the kind of God that we serve over and over and over again. He does it by repetition. And you know what? You know, maybe you know that God makes things, and we all know God's the creator, and that's great. But you'll never know the depths of God's love. You'll never know the depths of God's grace. You'll never know the depths of God's mercy until you understand He doesn't just make things, but He makes things again. He makes things again. And I know I've heard people say, Jesus was the biggest failure in the Bible, because, or God was, because He made a man and man sinned and yada, 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 and men been fallen ever since. But you know what? It doesn't prove God's that God is a loser. Amen. He's not the biggest loser in the Bible. He's the greatest winner in the Bible, because they're missing the point. God knew they were going to sin before they sinned. God knew what they're going to do before they did it. He knew they'd pluck the fruit, whatever kind of fruit it was. He knew that they would disobey Him, but He did it anyway. And you know what? He takes joy in remaking, making it again, making it again. How many times has He taken your life? He made your life. Now He's taking your life. And how many times have you been marred? How many times have you messed up? How many times have you said, God, I blew it again. I blew it again, Lord. And I promise you, I'll never do it again, Lord. I'll never do it again. And it is not even a week goes by. Lord, I did it again. God doesn't say, well, that's with you. Throw it in the rubbish heap. No, He makes us again. He makes us again. And again and again. You know, you read your Bible every day, I hope. How long have you been reading that Bible? Did you notice that? I'm not saying there are not times that you're tired. I'm not saying that. But I never get tired of reading the Bible. I never get tired of studying the depths of the Scripture. As a matter of fact, I enjoy that more than I enjoy anything just about in life. It's just I enjoy digging into the Bible and finding out what it means and what it says. But, you know, when you were a child, what was the Bible to you then? It was a book of stories. It was a book of Jonah and the whale, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in a fiery furnace, a lion's den with Daniel, and all the stories of the Bible. You heard them all. You loved them all. But now the years have passed, and from that day to this, you've gained a little knowledge, haven't you? You're a little smarter than you were when you were in the first grade. Leave it there. I hope. You have a little more intelligence than you had when you were in elementary school, and now, you know what? You read that Bible differently now. You read it again. And all of a sudden, something's different about it. You know what's different about it? See, you've had some knocks in life. You've come through some storms in life. And now it's not just a book full of stories, but all of a sudden, it becomes a living word to you. And many times, you know, you've read it, but your experience, as you've experienced the knocks of life, those times, that have left you shipwrecked and left you in need and left you in trouble. But in the midst of it all, you found God, and it just made this book more real to you. And so all of a sudden, it's not a book of stories anymore, just stories anymore, but it has some application to your life. And you know what? I never get tired of reading it. And you know what? When I've read it and then I read it again, I find things I didn't see before. And sometimes it's because of where I'm at in life. There's a lot of things change as you get older. But isn't the Bible a new book to you in that context? Every time you pick it up to read it? I mean, by every temptation you're called to meet, by every cross you're called to bear, by every sorrow you're called to bear, by every sin and failure that came into your life, you've been led, to this old black book up here. And you know what? It's gripped you. It's changed you. It's helped you. I can't tell you how many times that in the lowest points of my life, I couldn't sing my way out of it. I couldn't pray my way out of it. I couldn't preach my way out of it. I couldn't talk my way out of it. I couldn't have somebody talk me out of it, but I went to this book, and in this book I found fullness of joy, and in this book I experienced the presence of God. It's not just any old book, my friend. This is the God's book, but it's new to me every day. The mercies of God are brand new every day. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hands have provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Every morning, it's like the manna. You gathered up for that day. You don't gather it up for tomorrow, because tomorrow might never come. You gather it up for the day. That's why Jesus said, pray it like this. He said, give us this day our daily bread. Don't give it tomorrow, but give us today the daily bread, because I need it today. And every day it's new. He makes it again. Somebody say amen. Oh, yeah. You see, there have been times I've been in a storm, and before, you know, I preached what I used to preach, and I could tell everybody, kind of like some women, you know, they tell you how to raise your children. Never had one in their life. Amen. Man, that just knocked my socks down around my ankles, I'm gonna be honest with you. When they can tell you how to do something, and yet they've never done it. I was there as a preacher, young preacher. I hadn't really experienced a whole lot in life. I'm talking about just, you know, troubles and trials and all that and this. And until I started pastoring my first church, and man, kind of kidding about that. Amen. But truly, but after I've been through some stuff, man, I could preach with a little more depth. I wasn't just preaching what I knew in my head. I knew what is in my heart. And when I tell people today that God brought me through the biggest storm of my life, and I'm on the other side, and if God brought me through, I can tell you He'll bring you through. Amen. You see, this book is new every day, and yet it's the same childhood or the same Bible you had in childhood. The words haven't changed. The stories are the same. It's the same old book and not another. Is the same book with the same old stories. Again, there's Daniel in the lion's den. There's Joseph in the pit. There's Jonah in the whale. There are three Hebrew children. But let me tell you something. It's richer and deeper 1,000 times from the time I was a kid till now. I'll even say from the time when I was 16 when I got saved. I believe this book. That's why I got saved. But from that day to this book has got richer. I've gone deeper in it. Why? Because I've had a few lion's dens that I had to get in. I've been in a few fiery furnaces. I've had to face a time or two that I ran from God, and God swallowed me up by a whale and spit me out on some dry ground. I've been running to Nineveh ever since. Somebody say amen. It's through the strain and adverse circumstances of life you found that old Bible, that God has been making it again. Amen. See, I don't know for a fact, but I was told rich people are generally restless. I wouldn't know. I haven't experienced that in my life.
Oh, but I'm rich beyond anybody's imaginations. I'll guarantee you that. Amen. But just not with material things. But I'm talking about people that are just, they're restless, they say. The richest people, I'm not talking about you folks that got money in here, okay? Brother Louis, don't get the chip off your shoulder, okay? Okay. No, I'm talking about really rich people, okay? They're always afraid. They're always worried. They're worried. You know what? I woke up this morning. I didn't have to worry about my oil well going dry. Praise God. That's one worry I didn't have. I don't have to worry about my gold mine. Pardon my grammar, but I ain't got one. I don't have to worry about the things that these people have to worry about. They're always worried about their kids being kidnapped. Now, you know, we all worry about that to some extent. But if you were rich, it would multiply to 10,000 times. Because you got money now. And people want to take your child. They take my children. They give them back. I promise you that. But their children are worth money. And so they're just restless. Let me tell you, God is infinitely rich. Beyond any imagination of your mind. I mean, he's the creator. And the Bible says he's neither restless nor bored. He seems to find joy in making things the same. You know, we get in a rut sometimes. I'm tired of that. I'm sick of that. We gotta have this every night. Amen. Is this what we're going to... My mom used to do that. I knew it was going to have on Monday, Tuesday. I mean, it was Tuesday. It was Sloppy Joe's. Friday was Roast Beast. I don't know what it was the rest of the days, but I remember those two for sure. Sloppy Joe's and Roast Beast. But we're gonna have this again. You know, you think that. You'd never get tired of steak. I thought I'd never get tired of steak because when I grew up, I didn't have any steaks. We didn't buy steaks, okay? I didn't know what steak was. And then my dad bought a calf, and we watched it grow up. And then I sat at a table, and they said, that's the calf. And I said, I ain't eating that. I couldn't eat that. But I love steak. I love steak. I used to work at a place that had steaks. And I won't tell you the whole story, but I'm telling you what, I ate my fill of steaks. I had them there. I had them at home. Okay. Y'all not smart enough to catch that, but anyhow. Helped myself to a box or two of them. My mom said, where'd they come from? Oh, I got them. Let's eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow we die. If the boss catches me. But let me tell you something. I got sick of steaks. Eating it over and over and over. I got sick of shrimp. Got a box of shrimp to go with it. And man, I got tired of eating shrimp. Why? Because it just became the same thing over and over and over again. But you know what? We get bored easy. We get in the rut easy. But not God. He makes it again and again and again. You see, he finds joy in that. The thing that he's did a million times, a billion times, he does it again. The human face. Ever since God created the human face, ever since, he's been making them again and again and again. The human heart, he just makes it again and again and again. You see, you were once a baby. You were innocent and ignorant. You're no longer innocent. I'm just trying to kind of keep you awake here. But
You didn't have language. You didn't know what. You didn't know how to talk. The only language you knew was to cry. But now, you have babies of your own. And now, your babies are having babies. Not here yet, but some of you. Your babies had babies or having babies. If that makes any sense. Our babies were babies, but they've grown up. You see, life goes on because he makes it again. He does it again, over and over and over again. See, we think life is made up of just big days, exciting days, the days that are, you know, most of life's made up of ordinary days just like this. And so we just got to know God makes it over and over. If I had, you know, the infinite power that God had, I'm just saying, I think maybe I might try something, you know, something new. I might do something different. I think I might be trying some kind of new expression. You know, the evolutionist wants us to think that things change. Things change. But they don't. Same giraffe, same zebra, same dog, same cat. A human's still a human. And you know, that's the first thing I always ask any evolutionist when they say, you don't know anything what you're talking about. Well, I say, just give me one, well, just one, not 10, but just one example of a species changing. And they'll say, well, there's a bird, his beak grew out, but he didn't change his species, did he? Well, you know, cats, there's different kinds of species of cats that change in different parts of the country. Yeah, but they're still a cat. You see, no species on earth has ever changed. God made them just like he made them, and they are what they are. And human beings are what they are, and there's no evolution to it, man. We're just the way God made us. You see, our heart, with all of its longings, our thoughts, with all of its wandering through eternity, our bodies have been so fearfully and wonderfully made. He made them a long time ago, but through the scattered ages, he just makes them again and again and again. Amen. So, I'm just telling you tonight, look at the potter. Look at the clay. We know the clay is us. We know the potter is him. You know, I think about Christ. Jesus was not, no doubt, the creator. He made all things. He made all things, and all things were made by him, John said. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God, and all things were made by him. And there's nothing made that has been made that he didn't make. Wait just a minute, Pastor. He didn't make that pew right there. Yeah, he did. He created the atoms that formed around the nucleus of the proton and the neutrons. Amen. And he made it all, and it turned into a tree, and then somebody cut it down. I'm telling you, no, we put it together, but God made the wood. Amen. Kind of like the atheist that said, went to God and said, God, we can make a man too. Oh, you can? Yeah, we can make a man too. We have learned, we're smart, we're intelligent, and we can make a man just like you. God said, okay, let me see you do it. They reached down to get a handful of dirt, and God said, whoa, just a minute, get your own dirt. Get your own dirt. It all, God made everything. Jesus made everything. And then in his life as he walked this planet, and I hope that you're here Wednesday night, because, man, we're going to talk about how God's son turned water into wine. He changed water into wine. And there's a miraculous story in that I don't think that we've really, really seen the depth of it. But he made wine out of common water. He made a feast out of a few fishes and a few loaves. He made a calm sea out of an angry storm. But the glory of his redeeming work is rather recreation of the creation. I think about the man, the demonic, at the Gadareans. You know, if you really think about that man for a minute, one time in his life, he was a happy man. There was a time he had a family. There was a time that he had children, probably had a wife, had a job. But now the demonic is filled with demons. Don't know how he got that way. Don't know why he was that way. I just know he was that way. And Jesus came and he broke the powers of darkness. The man was nothing but a spectacle. He was nothing but a beastly spectacle that the whole town was afraid of. Oh, you know what? I love the story when Jesus steps off the boat. He's met by that man. Everybody runs from this man, but Jesus. I imagine his disciples kind of gathered up around him every time. What are y'all doing? Amen. Let me, you know, give me some room here. I mean, if I'd have been there, I'd have got beside Jesus too. Somebody say amen. Man had a legion of devils in him. Not to make anybody afraid. But let me tell you something. Jesus, his pulse never raced. He never had a drop of adrenaline that fell from his adrenal gland. He never was frightened. He wasn't afraid. You know why? Because he knew he could handle the situation. And he knew what he was going to do before he did it. And he caused the devils to come out and go into the pigs. And that's another story within itself. I mean, you think about how low sin can bring you. Those were demons. You understand that? Those were devils from angels from heaven at one time. And so think about it. That's how far sin will take you. They were in the very presence of God, in the eternal throne of God, seeing God, experiencing the presence of God, and they went from that to the belly of a pig. That's how far sin will take you, my friend. But let me tell you something. God is able to take you from the belly of a pig and bring you to glory. He takes you from the guttermost and lifts you up to the uttermost. He remakes you. He changes you. He takes his creation and recreates it, and his triumph lies in making things again. Jesus came and broke the powers of sin and darkness with his regenerating power, and that poor demonic man was made again. Jesus touched a leper and made him again. The Christ healed a man with palsy and made him again. He forgave Mary Magdalene and made her again. He took a man called Zacchaeus and he connected with him and made him again. That's what God does. He makes us again. So let me tell you this week, as you go about your journey, as you go your way in life, as you go to your job or your to your hobby or whatever you're doing, just remember this. If you mess up, God can help you. If you mess up, he's got grace. If you mess up, he doesn't throw you on the ash heap of eternity. He just makes you again. And so when it all is said and done, all you need is Jesus, the potter. Maybe we've made a mess out of life. Maybe we have. I know. Easy to do it. Sometimes I ask myself, how in the world did I get myself in these things? You ever think that? How in the world? It just seemed like I don't have to look for trouble. It finds me. And there's the mess. I'm left scratching my head. You know what? It's not a mess. Or should I say there is no mess that God can't make a miracle. The pot, there's no pot that's been marred that God can't make it again. There's no life in this house. There's no life that you know that God can't change and remake. He did it before. He'll do it again. Just like he said he would. But isn't that really grace? It's really grace. Because you see, here it is, and I'm closing. With us, we expect everything to be perfect. We expect everything to be unmarred. Get a new car, not long you get a scratch. You know, you can't even sleep that night. Pretty soon you got more scratches. But you know what? God knows about all the scratches. He knows about all of your blemishes and all of your mess ups. He knows all about your situation. And instead of us, you know, we get to a point where we say, I'm done with you. Somebody told me that this week. Said that my mother told me, you're dead to me. Well, I said, guess what? You ain't dead to Jesus. He'll make you again. Amen. He'll restore your dignity. He'll restore your integrity. But you got to give him a chance. He's able to do what no other power can do, and that is the power of grace. So let me just say this. You may feel like at times you're a loser. You may feel like at times that you've fouled up, messed up, and things aren't the way they should be. But guess what? God's not through. God's not through. He puts us back on the wheel. Puts the Holy Ghost water on us, pours it over us, and starts molding us into making us again. And I'm so glad he does. Like the little kids used to sing, God's still working on me. Make me what I ought to be. Just took him a week to make the moon and the stars. Sun and the moon and Jupiter and Mars. I can't remember the rest, but he's still working on me. Amen. He's working on all of us. And let me just say, we ought to give each other a little bit of a break on that deal. It's easy to throw you under the bus, man, when I see you mess up. But when I mess up, I don't want nobody to throw me under the bus. It's kind of like when you fall and trip and fall. You ever trip and fall out in public? Man, that's about the most embarrassing thing you can do. I can't tell you how many times I've slipped and fell and got up, looked, make sure nobody looked. Nobody saw me. Feel better, but man, if they see you, oh, it's embarrassing. But God sees every slip, every fall, every time you stumble. But he still loves you. He still loves you. And the potter will take you and mold you again, make you again, change you again, and again, and again. One man preached a sermon years ago, maybe wrote a book, and said, God's the God of a second chance. I've got better news for you. God's the God of 1,000 chances, of 1,000,000 if you need them. Because he's God, and he knows how to make you again. Amen. Father, I pray tonight that you would so touch us with the exceptional knowledge of